are elected will step back. And so first, Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez, if you could unmute, I do see you there, but just so we can have it for the record.
Hello.
Okay, very good, I'm sir. Present. Thank you very much. Senator Curls?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Jungman?
He'll be joining shortly, but he's not here yet.
And Mr. Munyon, if I could get you.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Perch. And finally, Mr. Lavota.
Present.
I will now put the agenda back on the proposed agenda based upon our discussion last meeting back on the screen. And we'll entertain a motion. If there's any discussion that everyone would like to have, if there are any that would be made, and if not, we would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'd make a motion to approve the agenda that will follow today.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. At this point, I believe that the minutes from the last meeting have been shared with everyone. If needed, I can put those on the screen, but otherwise, unless there's an objection, we'll entertain a motion for the approval of last meeting's minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the meetings from last week.
Second.
All those in favor, sign of aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Reflected, the ayes have it. Minutes will be approved. We will now move on to the consideration of selection of a chair and vice chair or co-chairs. And I will open this up to the members of the committee to discuss how you would like to proceed. We will be here to assist.
I guess my only comment to the committee members is that we should have a chair and a vice chair that can maybe collaborate with some of the information back and forth with the county executive office and share that with the committee, so the county executive office isn't having to reach out to all six of us, which of course they can in some circumstances, but I think it's more efficient to do that. The chair or vice chair won't have any other role other than that. They'll be equals with the rest of the committee, of course, but just to organize that. And then also to chair over the meeting and maybe make sure we're efficient and as we move along in this process.
I would propose that we have co-chairs, one from each side.
I agree.
I think we'll have just as much, the ease of communication with the county will be just as easy. You're just adding one person to an email of whatever. And I think it's important that both sides are represented as the meetings go forward. And I don't think that'll be very difficult. I don't expect a problem, but I think if you have a vice chair on one side and a chair on the other side, you're going to get, I can just see it. I can just see meetings being skewed one way or the other. It just seems like co-chairs is a better idea.
I'd like to make a motion that we have co-chairs, and I'd like to open the floor for nominations for co-chairs of this committee.
I have a nomination.
Okay.
This is Kiki Curls. I'd like to nominate Phil Lavota and Ralph Munyon as co-chairs of the committee.
Second.
All those in favor of those two men being co-chairs of the County Reapportionment Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. Your co-chairs are Phil and Ralph as we move forward. Ralph, I'll ask you this. As far as proceeding with the meeting and going through the agenda items, do Do you want to share that? Is it something you want to do, want me to do? How are your feelings about that?
I'm totally fine I'm totally fine with deferring to you on things like, you know, what's next. Except I may jump in. How about that?
Then let's do that. I'm just going to be the driving the train for the process. And as co-chair, jump in if you have any suggestion we should do something different. Right. Does that make sense?
That works for me.
Okay. Looking at the agenda that we've approved, like to turn it over to the county to deal with the ESRI redistricting software presentation. I think if we all got our emails last week, the county has decided to give each of the committee members their own license for that committee redistricting mapping computer software. So I'll turn it back to you and kind of tell us how that would operate, how we get on board, if there's training involved and such.
Thank you. And just real quick, Mr. Chair, if I could, before that, one, I wanted to note it appears that the two other members of the committee have been able to join us. So I don't know if we want to open that back up just so the record reflects that all members of the committee are now present.
Yeah, let's do that. Ms. Perch, you're here. We started a little bit early. I apologize for that. You're here, correct?
I am here, but I'm just on my phone. I haven't been able to connect on a computer yet.
Well, I'm sorry you can't see all our wonderful smiling faces. So
I'm still working on it.
Commissioner Perch is here. Commissioner Jungman, you have joined us too, I think, right when we got started.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. And I apologize for being late. Sorry.
It's technicalities. I couldn't find the right link myself too. So thank you for that, Caleb. So the committee is here in full. And so we'll turn it back to the county to tell us about this software.
And to the co-chairs, Mr. Hayden had a request that he would like to make.
The chair, if it's permissible, I'd like to go ahead and give you my brief presentation now. I've got a couple of things on fire back on my desk, and I'm as fascinated as I am by ESRI. I think I could do without it.
Without a doubt. Why don't you go forward, Mr. Hayden?
Yes. And I'm going to just give you some bullet points here. If anybody's interested in what the statutory sites are to what I'm saying, I'm glad to share those either during the meeting or you can send me an email and I can send that to you afterwards. I really don't want to gum this thing up with saying section 610.010.1 half a dozen times, that type of thing, if that's okay. So what we're talking about is what's most commonly called the Sunshine Law. Other people refer to it as the Open Meetings Law or the Open Records Law. It's the same thing. The Sunshine Law does have two components. One relates to open meetings and one relates to open records. It applies to public governmental bodies. That's a long definition, but I think there'd be general agreement that this committee is a public governmental body. So let's talk about the subject to the law. The first component we'll talk about is the meetings component. The reapportioning committee is a public governmental body. Its meetings are open to the public. To have a meeting, you must have 24 hours advance notice, unless you've got real good reason not to. It doesn't include weekends and holidays, so you can't decide on Sunday morning that you're going to meet on Monday morning. It does not include weekends and holidays. It's 24 working days, working hours notice. I think the best way to get the notice out will be to work with the county staff and have the meeting on the notices on the county's website. We can also post a hard copy on our meeting notice or our legal notice bulletin board. That usually, no one's complained that doesn't comply with the law. We'll also give out notices to anybody who asks to be notified. That's the other component of the law. That would include members of the media. The law requires we have an agenda. So you saw an agenda tonight. Minutes are required to be prepared after the meeting and distributed. They need not be verbatim or even summarized, but they must show the votes were taken, and if a roll call vote was taken, of course, they need to indicate who voted which way. There will be very few items that would require a roll call vote. I can't really think one, perhaps the adoption of the final plan might. But other than that, it's all going to be procedural matters that you can vote by voice, and the chairman can call the prevailing side, and if any member thinks he didn't get it right, then you can ask for a roll call vote. That's just in order for the order. Closed meetings are authorized under certain circumstances, but in review of the circumstances, and there's over 20 of them, I didn't see any exceptions that would be that would authorize the committee to have a closed session. If any of you lawyers on the board think that there might be a basis for having one, we ought to discuss that before you decide that is the case. I just think that it's all real technical stuff that are exceptions, and I'm just not seeing any of them for this committee. Moving on to the open records portion, the records include paper and electronic records and other formats, videotape, that type of thing. Those are records that are prepared by or retained by the committee. It includes emails and texts that are shared and transmitted among four more committee members. In the county counselor's office view, the record would not include texts or emails among three or fewer committee members using private email addresses and cell phones. I'll just let you know, though, that there's a lively debate among lawyers who practice in this area about whether what I just said to you is right. And so, you know, I don't know that you will need to get into a big discussion on that, but there will be people who might disagree with that. There's no court case that says that I'm right or wrong, but we've generally held for the county doing its own business that private email addresses are, and private text services on non-county cell phones are private unless they're exchanged among a quorum of the body. And for you, that would be four members, technically probably two D's and two R's. So keep that in mind. The other thing I had to mention on this with regard to email communication and text communications, if somehow this thing bogs down and gets involved in a lawsuit, and you know, stranger things have happened, I guess. Once you're into the realm of a lawsuit, chances are that all electronic communications and written communications for that matter are discoverable. A court would order them be produced in a lawsuit. And I've done this, I think, three times. We've never had a lawsuit over it, but it's always an option. Yeah, a good rule of thumb, and I think you've probably heard this before, a good rule of thumb for electronic communications is that don't put in writing or retain anything relating to the committee's business that you wouldn't mind reading about in the newspaper or seeing on the news. If you keep that in mind when you're hitting your keys and pressing send, you're never going to get in too much trouble, I wouldn't think. the other thing regarding records is anything you share at a meeting or share electronically with a three or more of your fellow commissioners is going to be an open record, and that you need to share that also an electronic or paper copy with the custodian. And I think the administration is still working out who that's going to be for the committee. But that'll be something that we'll have to retain and be available for public inspection. Those are the highlights. The Attorney General, the great man that he is, has put out a big, thick book here. It's got all sorts of other stuff in it. I don't think you need to be aware of it. If anybody would like a copy of this book, I'd be glad to send it to you. I'd be pleased to respond to any questions you might have now or later by email or phone.
To the co-chairs and the members of the committee, we would like to offer Miriam Hennessy. She's offered to be custodian of records. If the committee would like to make a motion to approve that, or we can find someone else to assist with the collection of records. But Miriam has done a good job in our office of doing that before. And as you all have learned, she's better at sending emails with attachments than I am. And so she might be somebody that could do this for you all.
Can we get a motion to have Miriam be our custodian of records from the committee?
So moved.
Get a second. Ruth gave us a second. Let's Senator Curls and committee member Birch has second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? I saw Ms. Perch answer from the aye. Mr. Youngman, you're muted, so I couldn't hear your vote, and I don't see your face. Can you hear us, Paul?
I did unmute. There, can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay.
I approve. Thanks.
Okay. The ayes have it. Thank you, Miriam, for serving on that. Jay, before we get done with you, let me ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
You started off our meeting saying that you're not our lawyer, but the county executive, the county counselor has added you as a resource, and we want to make sure you're still going to be there. If we do run into some things, you'll be able there to answer some questions for us.
I'll be 50 feet away here, easily reachable, and anybody's welcome to call me on the phone or email. Phone is 881-3150. Phone is letter J, H-A-D-E-N. Email is letter J, H-A-D-E-N at jacksongov.org. And if there's any legal issues involved, I'll be at the meetings. But otherwise, I've got a zillion things to do.
You're just a phone call away. Thank you so much. The notice that went out for this meeting, I do see we have some other people, members of the public that have tuned in. How are these notices sent, and where are they sent, or where are they posted?
That was posted on the county's website, which is, you know, and it's I think it's probably on the first page on the log on. There's a public hearings component. Sometimes the notices are posted there, but this is not a public hearing. There may be, the committee may decide to take public comment at some point, but this will be on the county's website. There's a meetings and a section there, and there's a activity calendar. It's posted in one of those locations. And then there's also a legal notices bulletin board on the ground floor of the courthouse that we post our copy of that type of thing.
Okay, and we'll continue to do that. And Ms. Hennessy is in charge of getting that, so she'll make sure she's on that.
I work with her closely on other meetings.
Perfect. Any other committee members have any questions, Mr. Hayden?
You have a question. I forgot who takes minutes. It's not you, Mr. Clifford. Is it you, Ms. Smith?
Yeah, that's correct. Ms. Marciana Smith.
Oh, great. Ms. Smith, I just wanted to, if you could get have Mr. Hayden's email and telephone number input in the minutes for us. Thank you very much.
Anybody else have any comments or questions for Mr. Hayden? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then if we can move into whoever can give us the information about the ESRI redistricting software.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Lavota, just to repeat a comment that you made earlier in the emails that were sent, the county did purchase additional licenses for every member of the committee, should you choose to use them. Due to that, we thought it would make sense to bring in some experts in addition to our IT staff to provide a more detailed explanation of how that software will work, as well as we have our IT staff to kind of kick it off and introduce those folks from ESRI. And at this point, Rich, I'll turn it over to you and anyone else at IT if you want to go ahead and get started, and then hand it over to ESRI.
All right. Hello, everyone. Rich Buford, GIS Program Manager for Jackson County. We have brought on ESRI. It's their software. So they had already done a walkthrough demo for us a couple weeks ago. And Earl, I'm not sure if you want to introduce the team, but Earl McDowell is our account manager, right?
Sure.
he's our go-to guy at ESRI, so he's a great guy. So Earl, you want to take it from there?
Hey, just following protocol, we just like to thank the body for having us this afternoon for this presentation. Mr. Buford has been such a great partner of ESRI, and also along with Mr. Bentley, I believe he's on the call as well. We are ESRI. We're the largest mapping corporation in the world. We serve several thousands of communities within the United States with this type of software and these type of capabilities. I've been with Esri since January 2018, but I've been utilizing this technology since the spring semester of 94. So I've been around GIS for quite some time. So I just want to briefly introduce my colleagues. We have Ms. Mackenzie O'Brien. She is the one that's going to be doing the technical demo for us today. Mackenzie, could you just give a brief bio of yourself?
Sure. My name is Mackenzie O'Brien. I am usually located out of our St. Louis office, but currently at my parents' house in San Antonio. And I have been with the redistricting team for about a year now. I help out in terms of training, testing of the software, and also bringing in the data that we use.
And thank you, Mackenzie. And then I'm also going to turn it over to my most esteemed colleague, Richard Ledbetter. He's going to give us an overall view, the 10,000 foot up type of presentation and a perspective of the entire redistricting process. Richard, take it away.
Thank you, Carol. I always want to start a presentation. Good piece of news. It's only 24 weeks until summer. I want to give you a very quick, very fast background to why Esri. If you know Esri, we tend to stick to core technology. We build some very good core that our users, you, take and do good work with. Redistricting is one of the few exceptions where we got into an end application. And we did that for a number of reasons. Good chunk of that reason is history. We were involved in the very early 80s with the Census and Department of Justice to create a system that allowed the then Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division, to look at the census data, to be able to look at the census data in a way that allowed them to look for balance of race and equity issues, as well as counts. That initial work was working with the census to create what ultimately becomes the PL, the public law data. And the public law data is the basis of redistricting. It's the data you will be using. In the 80s, it was a highly constrained thing. It was big iron. It was an IBM system that probably cost millions of dollars. And you got one or two planned scenarios out of it. In the 90s, it was a workstation. That workstation probably cost $60,000 in 1990 dollars. So it was still very constrained on who could do redistricting. So it was a closed group. 2000 was the epitome of that disruptive moment where PCs were now competent. You could walk into a big box store, purchase a PC, purchase some software, and you could have a kitchen tabletop exercise to do redistricting. And up to that point, we were relying on business partners and end users to create the applications and tools. But we saw a need to get involved in that. We saw where it needed a bigger touch. It needed Esri's touch. And in 2000, we issued this application for the first time. And I would say we almost created a consumer level access to redistricting. This is what a drawing I drew in 2005 to National Conference for State Legislatures, NCSL. They're kind of the professional body for redistricting, not only redistricting work, but the law and case study that goes around it. Redistricting systems were closed. They were basically between professionals and legislators. The public was kind of left out. This was a drawing I drew as the art of the possible, that it was possible in 2005 to create applications that could deliver as robust and as heavy analytical as redistricting is. You could do it in a web browser. And I like to joke that in that room that day, if there had been rocks, they would have stoned me to death. It was not a good message to the professional consultant redistrictor. They liked the closed system. They liked that behind the door thing. But my goal in creating that was to create a system that could be open, transparent, provide all the public transparency that I thought was needed into the process, as well as a whole bunch of IT benefits on whether centralized IT, cost benefits, and the like. You have picked the option on the left of the screen, the SaaS option. Each one of you have an individual license. It is web-based. you can perform and access this software on any computer connected to a web browser. It has to be a modern web browser, can't be something from 2006. But any web browser that you have on your PC today that you can look at email, see YouTube videos, you can access this application. It does come with the data. I like to talk about the application in three buckets, the data sources. That is the census public law data. You will be accessing that. Your state in particular does not do prison reapportionment. I live in Maryland, mine does. Excuse me. We have taken care to work with each of those states to realign that data to readjust where prisoners came from. But again, that's not a problem for Missouri. But census data is the main thing you'll be using. You do have the ability to bring in support information. If there are county produced data layers that you want to see, public parks, for example, maybe zoning, maybe a layer of community names, you are able to bring those in as reference files and see them and partially interact with them as you create your plans. So you can be looking at a zoning layer that says the community names and collect your census geography by those that substrate of polygons that represent each of the communities. Plan management is important. Who's working on what plan, what access? Can you share the plan? Can you publish the plan? How does it get back to the central administrator, Rich from the GIS group, so that he can make sense that it can be curated for one, but ultimately elevated to everybody so that you can review it on your own personal time and share it and comment and possibly even publish it to the public if that's desired. And then collaboration, what you're doing here, buying multiple copies and being able to work as a group. My last slide, I just want to describe the census data that you'll be using. I'm going to assume that none of you are census data experts. It is a rather convoluted and complex data set. It has well over 350 attributes. Fundamentally, of all the same thing, of all eight categories, different permutations and different ways of calculating those permutations, but fundamentally, there's a lot of data to look at and a lot of ways they present the same data. So I just want you to be aware the census block is your Lego bit. It is the block, it is the smallest piece. Typically about, 40 homes. It can vary up to 100 homes, but you're talking about a piece of small geography and you have not only population counts, but race and ethnicity data as well. Those are clustered into block groups, tracts, and the county. And sometimes if you have places within the county, it will even include those as level of geographies that you can interact with. So that will be important to remember when Mackenzie starts her demonstration. I offer this as my segue to Mackenzie. This is our user interface. If I had to guess, I would say 80% of our update from 2010 to 2020 has been in the user interface. We mean this to be a interactive environment that you need little or no training to be successful. It's built off the Microsoft Ribbon paradigm. So if you work left to right, top to bottom, you will walk through a plan to completion. And that's our goal. And Mackenzie will be diving into this at depth. Mackenzie, I'm going to stop sharing and take it over. And while Mackenzie sets up, if there are any questions so far, we can take them.
I have a question. This is Gary Binley. I'm with the GIS department. I was adding some municipal layers to the plan. And then when I try to print or export it out with that plan, if I wanted an image, it is not in there. Is there a way to do that or just open up the plan so I don't have to add the data that is already included in?
Not 100% sure. We'll punch that to Mackenzie.
And later on, that was something.
Have her address that in the demonstration.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I can send over my email address and you could potentially send along screenshots of what's happening. That would be helpful for me.
Thank you very much.
Great. So I'll just get started with signing into the application. Very basic interface here. And from here, I'll be able to see a list of all the plans that I've either recently created, opened, or that have been shared with me. Or I can also start off from scratch by going down to this Create Plan button. And from here, I'm given a number of options. The first one is to change the district caption. And this is simply the name of the districts. Some areas prefer to use the words precincts, regions, territories, or wards. But for right now, I'll stick with district. You can bump it up to however many districts you need. For demonstration purposes, I'll just work with two for now. And you can also adjust the maximum deviation to whatever value you need. So this is the amount that each of the districts are allowed to vary from each other percentage-wise. And the default is 10, so again, I'll just leave it at that for simplicity's sake. I'm also allowed to choose from a number of different years of census data. Since 2020 is the latest and greatest, I will be using that. And from here, finally, I'll just scroll down to the counties and down to Missouri and choose Jackson County, Missouri. From here, I have the option to choose between two different data hierarchies. So these are just the different geographies that appear on the map. So Rich was talking a little bit earlier about those tracts and block groups and blocks. But you can also work with VTDs, also known as voter tabulation districts, as you'd like. However, people do tend to stick with this first option. So again, I'll be sticking with that for demonstration's sake. Here I can choose the colors of the districts that I'd like to work with. So personally, I think these two are a little too close to each other. So I'll change this first one to more of a purple color. And then over here, I have the option to bring in some census demographic variables. So I can choose to either bring in individual variables or bring in an entire category. And these are all just different categories that are put out by the Census Bureau and different organizations within the census. And once I hit done, you'll see that Jackson County will appear in the background and I'm prompted to save my plan. So I'll just call this Jackson Demo. And I can also add a description, if I'd like. You'll also notice that all of those demographic variables that I added a second ago appear down here. And Rich also mentioned a bit earlier that this is organized in that tabular format. So as long as you start off at this file tab and then work to the right, you'll be able to create a complete and legitimate plan. Let me resize that for a second. So under the file tab, first of all, I have the option to create a new plan, open a previously made plan, save my plan, save a copy of my plan under a different name, or create an archive of my plan. And what that will essentially do is create a zip file with a number of files relating to my plan. I can also save a copy of my plan to my computer and then open that plan back up again using these two buttons. From here, I'm able to print out my plan or print a plan book. A plan book will create an overview of all of the districts and then an individual page for each district. If you have previously existing districts that you'd like to bring in, you can use this import button. And you can either bring them in from a fixed text format, which is just a text file listing out the different census geography IDs, usually a comma, and then the number of that district. And then you can also use a shapefile, which is just a very common format of spatial data that we use a lot. And you can also export either as a PNG or JPEG, KML, fixed text format, or as a shapefile. Under the Learn tab, we have a very basic guide to how to use the software. So if at any point you feel that you're a little bit lost, you can always come refer to this. And this will bring you to some of our documentation. And you've also got some basic tips written out down here if needed. Under the View tab, I can adjust the number of districts if needed. So I can just bump that up to 3 if I need 3 districts, or push it back down to 2 if needed. I can also choose to show target values. So that's just the ideal number of people in each district, given that they're divided per, or the population, I should say, is divided perfectly between those two. Over here, we just have a couple of different display options. So I can have all of the districts use this blue unassigned color. I can just use the lines or bring back the fill. I can also choose to display locks. So if I choose to lock a district, therefore allowing no changes to be made to it, I could either choose to display those or not by clicking this off and on. I can display the names of the districts or just short name of the district. Or I can also choose to show one of the fields. So either the total population or any of the variables that I've brought in here underneath that district name. I can use this deviation coloring to kind of give me a quick guide as to which of the districts that I'm working with are above or below that maximum deviation that I set at the beginning. I can come and swap the locations of districts. So let's say I've created District 2 in the north and 1 in the south, and I want them to be flip-flopped. I could just come up here and use this button to do that. Under Join Districts, I'd be able to come and merge multiple districts together if I need to do that. A lot of times we'll see that maybe in school districts, redistricting where they wanna merge elementary school attendance zones into middle school attendance zones. And then over here, we have the District Window button, which will simply pop out that table down at the bottom and bring it into its own window. And once I close that, just goes right back to where it was before. And that can be helpful if you need a little bit more real estate for the map. Under the Create tab, this is kind of the meat of the application, where if you're the person building out the districts, this is where you'll be spending a lot of your time. Under the Demographics window, this will bring me back to that same window you saw at the beginning, and you can add or remove any demographics that you'd like. Over here, we have some very basic drawing tools that you can use to add geographies to your district. So I'll just start off with drawing out District 1. And from here, I can either use the point selection tool, the rectangle selection tool, the polygon selection tool, or the line selection tool. I can also bring in reference layers like Rich mentioned. And for this demo, I'll just be bringing in one of school districts. So if I have a particular school district in this instance that I don't want to split up, what I can do is come over to this Identify tab, choose to identify from that school district's layer, click on the school district of interest on the map, and hit assign to, and all of the blocks from within those boundaries will be added to my district of choice. I can also add the entirety of a particular town or city to my district. So for this case, I'll just search for Independence. And once again, once I scroll down and hit assign to, all of the blocks from within the boundaries of the city will be added to my district. Up here, I can adjust the scale at which I'm viewing. So currently I'm viewing at the block group scale, but if I wanted to view at the track scale, all I would have to do is drag this little red bar over, and now I'll be viewing at the track scale. And if I drag that back over to the right, now I'll be viewing at the block group scale again. So each of these little red bars represents the scale written below it. So county, tract, block group, and then block is just represented by the end of the scale bar. And the little yellow bar is a representation of where you're currently viewing. And you can tell what scale you're viewing at by whatever this little yellow bar is to the right of. So it's to the right of that little block group bar. So I know I'm viewing at the block group scale here. I can also change the base map. If you're familiar with Esri technology, some of these might look familiar to you. Our default is the streets one. Personally, my favorite is this light gray canvas. I just think that looks really sleek and minimalistic. I know some people like to use the imagery because it kind of gives them that bird's eye view of the neighborhoods that they're working with. But the streets one is perfectly good and it's the default for a reason, so you can always come back to that. You can also bring in themes. So this will help to give you an idea of where the population is located throughout the county. So you see over here, each of these labels corresponds to the total population of that particular block group. And as you zoom in and zoom out, it will adjust to the different census geographies. Under the review tab, I'm just going to hop over to a balanced plan or a plan of your districts, excuse me. We can run a plan histogram and look at the demographics of any of the districts. So I can just look at the population of any of those or the demographics of any of those that I've added to my plan. Similar over here with the plan distribution chart. And then under district distribution, I can see how a particular district is broken up amongst different census demographic groups. Under the compactness test, these are basically measures of how compact a district is. And you can just look at these to get a quick glance at how compact your district is. And all of these are approved by the Department of Justice as measures of compactness. And for a quick demo of any of these, or a review of any of these, you can simply hover over the name and it'll give you that brief description.
What does compactness mean?
So compactness is the way I kind of like to describe it in simple terms is it's trying to avoid any really strangely shaped districts in a sense. So I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of maps or examples out there where districts will look like, I know one of them is famously looks like Donald Duck supposedly. So it's kind of an effort to try and minimize districts that are oddly shaped.
It is a legal criteria that courts use to say is something amiss with this boundary, something that's convoluted, strung out, unnatural looking. They like compactness measures as a way to say, does that district even make logic? As a geographer, there are some problems with it, but it is what it is, but it is a criteria that courts use to evaluate districts.
I have a question along those lines too. I looked up the definition of compact in the dictionary and just closely and neatly packed together, dense. Yes. Does the Department of Justice have any problem with that definition? I mean, these don't look especially compact. How does that work in real life? Because as we know, like even here, District 1, it's like, I mean, it bends all around District 2.
Sure.
So how did that pass muster at some point on being compact? It's my general question. You probably don't know the answer, but.
So my first answer is go get the lawyer back in the room and get him to give you the definition that the state uses, because you do have a state.
Sure.
Local government has a lot less criteria than a state does for their districts, and let alone federal districts. They all have varying criteria. But you're absolutely right. So the balance is the shape. Is it as round or as square or as hexagon as it can be, versus does it include a community of interest, or does it split a community of interest? And it all depends on what that same shape polygon across the geography of your county will have different effect on how it collects both the number of people for each district, but also the race and ethnic criteria. So as I said, local government gets a big pass on a lot of this criteria. It was much more important when Section 5 of Civil Rights Act was enforced more heavily. So yeah, it's a legal requirement, but as long as you're keeping communities together, that's the main.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Munyon, if I could just real quick, this is Caleb Clifford. I can ask that Mr. Hayden put together some information to share with the committee either by email and or at next week's meeting, if that is the desire of the committee.
I think that would be excellent. In fact, I like it so much, I'd make a motion to that effect.
Second that. All those in favor of that, say aye.
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 Senator Curls? See your head nodding.
I did indicate aye earlier.
The ayes have it. So if Caleb, you can kind of review what that request was and get that to Mr. Hayden, that'd be great.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clifford.
Turn it back to the Esri folks.
Thank you. And thank you for helping me out there, Rich, with the more legal and formal definition. So the next thing we have is the integrity test. So these will run through 7 key checks just to ensure that your plan is what we like to call complete and legitimate. So again, those are terms used by the Department of Justice, and it'll flag any issues and alert you to any problems that are appearing within the plan.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you have income information on in the census tracts?
No.
Okay.
That could possibly be supplemental data out of the reference file. But
no. I didn't hear that.
So the answer is no. There's a potential to bring it in as a reference file, to have it as a background to the image that you see, so they can look at census blocks or tracts with their average income.
Yeah, Richard, your head mic is a little low. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially what he's saying is you can bring it in as a reference layer and you'd be able to look at it through there, but it is not built into the software.
Okay, McKenzie, what else?
Okay. So we have a number of reports available as well. And I've just run 2 of them ahead of time, for example. So one of them that we have here is the assigned district splits. So this will run through each of your districts and show you, in this case, which of your cities are split amongst multiple districts, and shows you the total population of each of those cities and what district they're in. And we also have an example of a bill text report over here. And this simply lists out all of the different census geographies and which district they're located in. And this is usually something that, for example, auditors or people at City Hall will be looking for when you go to submit a plan.
This is what your county clerk will be expecting, so that they can update their voter registration file, as well as the Secretary of State.
We also have the ability to compare plans against one another. So for just sake of demonstration, I've made some minor changes to some of your districts. And so you can see those changes, or the differences, I should say, between those two district or two plans via this hatch symbology. And you can also come down here to this comparison tab and view how those two plans vary demographically. And finally, under the share tab, this is where you'd be able to add some more information to your plan and also share it out with others. Under the attached files, this is where you'd be able to bring in, let's say, a Word document that might add some more detail to why you've added certain geographies to certain districts. As long as your file is 30 millibytes or below, it should upload perfectly fine. Under the plan information, this is where you'd be able to edit your plan name, add a description, and maybe add some analysis. You can also come in and leave either a comment on your own plan or a plan that's been shared to you. And when you leave a comment, it'll track the date, who left it, and of course the comment itself. Under the access log, this is where you'll be able to see who has come in and either looked at your plan or made modifications to it. This is probably more for the GIS people on the call, but you have three different options for publishing out to ArcGIS Online if you'd like. And then from here, you also have the ability to share your plan to some of your colleagues by creating a group. And once you've created a group, you can come in and share a plan out. So I've got a group called Jackson County here, and I'd be able to specify whether I want my colleagues to only be able to look at my plan or whether I'd like them to be able to make changes to it by enabling either read only or read and write. So that's all I've got for the demonstration. Give me a second to pull up a PowerPoint slide.
Mackenzie, I had a couple questions.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't mind, thanks. The first is, let's say Paul and I came in, 3 o'clock one afternoon and just fiddled with a plan that we were just whatever. Would that plan be then public to everybody, even though it was just sort of a work product, we're just sort of fiddling with the system or learning the system, really?
So each individual, you have bought individual licenses. So
I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
Unless you explicitly allow permission to outside to GIS group to consolidate that plan, no, it's on your login.
Okay, great. And my second question is, it's obviously got the data, how the population has changed. Will it make suggestions for you?
No.
It won't do that. Okay.
Okay, Mackenzie, couple questions. We have our at-large districts. How do we add those to make them separate than just six districts?
I'm assuming at-large means countywide.
They're countywide elected, but they have each separate geographic district within the county. And help me out, county people. Is it the county broken into thirds?
Yep.
Yes.
That is correct. There are residential requirements. So there are three areas into the at-large must reside one from each of those three. So I believe it's just another map of three districts that we would have access to, but I'll turn back to Rich to answer that question.
And the six districts that I'm seeing here, do they nest? Or do they overlap?
They overlap.
There are some overlap currently.
So you would handle that through a separate plan.
Yep. We have two separate base plans that we're going to have you guys use from our end that are what it currently is. And then you guys can run your scenarios. So we'll have the base already there for you to start. And then there's going to be two of them, individual and at large.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. A question that Ralph had posed more specifically, until we share a plan with someone else, that stays on our own license when we're doing things. And we say could save it to our own license, but until we click share plan and send it over to somebody else, that's where it gets out of our hands to someone else, correct?
Correct. And here's the asterisk. Once you're done, all of your plans are part of the record.
All the ones that we've saved.
All the ones you saved. I mean, draft one, draft two, draft three with Jim. Some things like that. They all do become collected at the end, and are part of the discoverable record.
Whatever I name that plan,
yeah.
Every change I made once I share is reflected. But if I do separate plans and call them different things, only the one I share has the records of what I've done. Correct.
Of what you shared. Correct. Correct. Okay. But if you create 9 drafts and one final plan that you give to the group for consideration, those 9 drafts are still part of the record in the end.
Okay. Okay. Mackenzie, you had on the share part where we could share to a group. And I didn't see how we create that. Is it by email addresses? How do we create that group?
Yep. So to create a group, you'll come over to this manage groups button, and I'll just create one here real quick.
I have already created a group for everybody and added them into it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if you wanted to create your own group, for example, you just come over here, and the easiest way to look for someone would just be to type in their first name. So I'll just look for my colleague, Aaron. And then from there, I could send him an invitation and he'll get an email and he'll have to go into his account and accept the invitation before he'd be able to see any content shared to it.
Okay, one more before we get, Mackenzie, I think we've talked about the county doing, I don't know that we've done it formally as a committee. So I'd entertain a motion that we ask the county to purchase individual licenses of the ESRI program for each committee member to have their own thing. If I could have a motion for that.
So move.
And a second, please.
Second.
All those in favor of the county purchasing each license for each committee member, say aye, please.
Aye.
Noes? Seeing none, that motion carries. So I think we've already done it, but let's get that for the record. Thank you for purchasing those. Back to you, Mackenzie, if you got anything else.
The only thing I've got is this final slide that Rich asked me to present.
I throw this in. This really isn't your bailiwick, but redistricting is a means, not an end. The end is your county clerk. They have to receive not only the state, federal, and state boundaries that are being done, but then your boundaries and any cities within your county. Those districts end up in your county clerk's lap. And from that, that data is what updates the voter registration file, saying that no longer are you in precinct 14B, you're in precinct 14C because of these line changes. So it is a critical element, and it's not a one and done process, especially for county clerks. They're gonna be receiving your edits. They have to now rush to update where you go to vote, where or what district you vote in. If you're an elected official, when can you go register to run for your next primary? Those are things that I just like to bring out to have people in the back of people's minds that this is not the finish. This is step one of a process that the county clerk is going to have to take and run with. So it's part of a bigger process of getting that census data, your redistricting data, developing new precincts possibly, or at least the shape of new precincts, and then updating your voter records. So it is an important process constitutionally, but even administratively, so your clerk can get out the vote.
And our colleagues at the county, we're a little different setup in Jackson County. We don't actually have a county clerk. We have the clerk of the legislature that does the filing and that talks to the election board. That's who we're producing this for. Is that correct?
And then the election board has to update all of their records. So how many voters in the county?
Correct. And so it was filed with three parties, the county clerk, the clerk of the legislature, as well as both the Kansas City Board of Elections and the Jackson County Board of Elections. Once it is approved by two of the Republican members at a minimum and two of the Democratic members of the committee.
Perfect.
And Mackenzie, one more question. Could you state your phone number and email again so we put that in the minutes? And
the slides. And
of course, I assume it's okay. We can call you or email you with questions, or is there somebody else?
So the slides that I presented have our contact information in it.
Oh, great.
Earl will be sending them to you right after this meeting. Yes, I'd like for you to go through Earl just to triage along the way.
Sure.
But yes, you have the ability to lean on us and answer some questions as
Very
well
good.
As your GIS staff.
Thank you.
And if I could, to the members of the committee, I just want to reiterate the point. I know that we've discussed this before. One, I think that it is great that we are able to make this available in this tool and empowering the members of the committee to make their own maps. But we also want you all to know that we remain here. Our GIS team remains ready and willing to assist in assembling these maps. And so if you don't feel comfortable with the technology, if you would like the members of our staff to help assist put maps together or verify data or assist in any way, we are still there. But we wanted to make sure that this was another option that you all had at your fingertips at you all's request. And so we are still available, and we would like to help and also work on a process, especially as we get closer to the end, to ensure that before the committee starts voting on maps, that we have some agreement on the process so that our staff can verify that, you know, we haven't left a little section of Lee Summit out or anything else. So we want to make sure we're here to assist in that.
I think we'll move forward with that blended process where anyone that's comfortable and savvy enough want to deal with it, that's great. If you don't, we'd like to reach out to the county, to your resources, if that's helpful, because I think we're all going to have different levels of familiarity or any sort of dealing with this. So thank you for that. Anything else from our Esri people? And how do we get, you get with us later about the sign-on process and that type of thing?
I was going to go over that with you. This is Gary Binley. I was going to go over that. Everybody's going to invite a username and kind of go through part of the process, because I've set up some of the groups. So if you want to continue this meeting, I'd be happy to show you the process for Jackson County. And if you go through it and you have difficulty or something and you want to reach out, I'm happy to hop on and help you out as well.
If you send us an email with the process, if anyone has a issue with that, they can get with you and you can walk them through.
Okay. It might be easier if I just walk people through, especially from the, to log into ArcGIS Online and just the process and give you a visual representation. So if you want, let me give you just do like 5 minutes of that.
You bet.
Hey, Gary, and then, go ahead.
Well, from the Esri side, we'll sign out and we'll let you proceed.
All right.
Thank you.
I have something from McKenzie, because I've got some questions, but is it okay if I reach out to you maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. Just send me an email. That's probably
okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
And Gary and Rich from the Jackson County side, we are a little bit past time, so if you can make this as brief as possible, and then obviously we will,
as Lota
suggested, we'll make ourselves available to assist if anyone has any issues logging on after today's meeting.
All right. I will make this just quick to kind of show you what is, so everybody's gotten an email for ArcGIS Online. That is the portal which we use. So I'm just using Chrome Incognito, so that way it doesn't have my cached information. So since you're using your own individual one, you will have a username and you will have a temporary password. I'm gonna sign in. Now up here, these 3x3s, you're gonna go over here and then you are gonna go to Esri Redistricting.
Hey, Gary, go back for a second. Slow it down just a little bit. I know you're in a hurry, but.
Oh, well, I'll come right back to that. Because it won't. Manager. Oh.
Mr. Lavota, everyone should have gotten an email for a Google Drive that is a Jackson County Google Drive that has instructions that we will have as a repository for all communication. So if you didn't receive that email inviting you to a Google Drive, let me know. We tried to use the emails that were provided by Miriam. So
this over here by your name, that's what you will click right there. You will, on yours, it'll look different, but it's going to be Esri Redistricting. And you will hit that button. Hit sign in. It'll pull your credentials over. And there you go. Now, where she'd say create plan or open plan, you'll see the at large. You'll see the individual. You can open that plan. And then this is the, if we had Caleb go through the process this morning, he was able to create and share a plan as well. So I'm just going to go individual, open this plan as well. Sorry, let me look through. I believe it was Mr. Hernandez. One of the things is if you did want to import data into it, sorry. what you'll do is you will add content. So you can do here, and depending on where you add it, what we have is GIS services. What I'm going to do is on the Jackson County, Missouri, I'm going to go over here. And there's over here, there's a group setting. You will be under the redistricting committee.
And just so the committee knows, we do plan on attending every meeting. And if there is any mapping work that needs to be done, we can help facilitate that at those hearings. We won't do anything outside of those hearings, but at the hearing, if you need us to help draw boundary lines, make changes, run analysis, we will be at every meeting until this is over.
Okay, let's do this. I know that I'm going to call you later to deal with this. It's
yeah.
And just because we're going long, you're telling me some stuff that it's going to go over my head. So I propose this. Thank you for that. And let's move forward. Once we have this, if all the committee members can get on and start tinkering with any issues you have, let's get with them directly to say, figure out how to sign on and all that stuff and any questions we have. We're all going to have specific individual questions, but just so timeliness, let's start moving along. Is that everything we need to hear about the Esri software right now?
Yeah, based on time, yeah.
Okay, and we're not done with you, my friend, by any means.
I don't think so.
We'll move into unfinished business, and basically we have a discussion of the mapping scenario request. I think that we ought to do as a committee is just get involved in this as much as you want for the next week, and we get back to our next meeting and kind of discuss between all of us, like, hey, this is working, this isn't, maybe we should get together quicker or weekly times work. I don't know what else there is there. I open that up to the committee. What kind of discussion comments do you have about moving forward? Okay. Hearing none.
Phil, it seems so far so good. I personally think I think a lot of time is going to need to be spent off-site working on maps, because we can't get together in a meeting and start fiddling with 15 maps.
You're exactly right.
So
I think you're right. We need time to deal with it.
Right. And so I plan on contacting our GIS group and, you know, as soon as possible, and just get a feel for it, you know, and see how far I can get. So I guess I encourage others to do the same. Otherwise, if we use these meetings to try to figure out the software, it's not going to be very productive.
You're exactly right, Mr. Co-Chair. And so I think that kind of takes us into the announcements. Before we conclude, I'm going to propose, I don't know how the county is. Is next Monday just a check-in? And I don't know that our next meeting will be that long. I think we're going to kind of get back together and say, hey, this computer system works great. Here's how we're doing. Does next Monday work for everybody? If we did a Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock meeting, what does everybody look like for their calendar for that?
Is that next Monday at 2?
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking.
Okay. It's okay for me.
Okay.
A little tight for me, but I'll try to make it.
We can move it back, Bobby, if you want. Would you like it later in the day?
Yes.
How about 3 o'clock better?
Yeah.
Okay. How about 3 o'clock then, everybody?
Yeah, I was still checking. Sorry, okay. My computer's
no problem.
Stupiding up. So Monday the 27th.
Monday the 27th at 3 o'clock.
Sounds all right with me.
Yeah.
For you? Okay.
That works.
Okay, then. I'll take a motion. We're not adjourning yet. We're just going to talk about our next meeting. It's going to be Monday, December 27th, 3 o'clock by Zoom. Miriam's going to get us all the minutes from this meeting. She's going to get us the agenda set up for next meeting. So I take a motion that we set our next meeting for the 27th at 3 o'clock.
So moved.
Second,
please. Somebody unmute or raise their hand. Throw a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No. Okay. Our next meeting is there. Any other thing this committee needs to do? Caleb, Mr. County Executive, anything else that you guys, any input or advice or discussion from your end?
Not at this time, Ms. Lavona. We'll take this moment to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Look forward to seeing you on the 27th.
And thank you so much, Merry Christmas. Any other committee members have anything?
Merry Christmas, everybody. I apologize again for being late. I'll get it right next week.
No problem at all. Merry Christmas, everybody. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
And a second.
Second.
I'll all second. Those in favor say aye.
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 We're adjourned. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.